Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for being with us today. Janie and I are going to continue our conversation on the judgment seat of Christ and what that day will mean for the believer. And we're going to also be looking at crowns and rewards that are mentioned in Scripture that will give us an understanding of what Paul means when he encourages us to run the race as though we will obtain a prize. So join in the conversation as we dig into the Word to find insights into running the race well. Well, Janie, today I wanted to begin with reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10.
All right.
It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." We talked about last week, we talked about the judgment seat and all that it is. And I want to reiterate that the judgment seat of Christ is not a judicial bench. It's also, in our Christian circles, it's also called the Bema. And the Bema comes from a Greek word meaning elevated platform. And racers, runners, when they raced, they would go up on the Bema to get their rewards.
Yes, and it was like, and the scriptures speak about it being a perishable reward. They were giving this wreath that they would put on their head, and the wreath was the signature or the visible evidence that they were the winners. So
okay.
It brought attention to themselves, and people knew what all was involved in running the race, the preparation, the discipline, the sacrifice. So it was a real tribute to the person.
And so that's why we call it Bema, is because we'll be receiving a reward.
That's right.
And Paul talks about receiving different kinds of crowns when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so that's why we refer the judgment seat as the Bema.
Yes. And I really have no idea what the crowns will look like. I mean, I've gone to in London and seen the royal jewel crowns and the elaborateness of them, or whether it will be something that the Lord just gives us in a way that everyone will know, but it won't be something that you can necessarily walk around heaven with this.
Being boastful about.
Well, and stop and think, I'm sure Paul is going to have all the crowns. And so how do you wear them all at the same time? So I have no idea how it's going to be, but it's something that the Lord puts a lot of emphasis on.
You know, our minds just can't really wrap around that. He gives us examples, but we really can't understand, can we?
It's a different kind of language. I know when I first started studying Revelations 2 and 3 to the churches, and for all the overcomer, they have a new stone, or they have their name written in a special way, or they have different things. And I'm, as a very young Christian, thought, well, what's the big deal? You know, I don't know what I was expecting, that he was going to say, I've got a Ferrari for you when you get to heaven if you have really excelled.
Right.
Still had that mind of everything being temporal. And yet the way the Lord describes the important things, it's hard to envision how he wants them to be. But we know because of who he is, they will be so worth the sacrifice, effort, diligence that we have applied to be able to be worthy by him and through him to receive them.
Okay. Do believers and non-believers stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or is the judgment seat of Christ just for believers?
It is just for believers.
Okay.
It will happen as soon as we hear the trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up and meet him in the air, and and we shall forevermore be with the Lord. Immediately after that transformation of being to meet him in the air, and we receive our spiritual bodies, and the next thing on the timeline, except we'll be in eternity, so goodbye
next
time.
Next thing on the docket.
On the docket, there you go, that's a better word. We'll be this Bema, or this judgment seat of Christ.
Okay.
The great white throne where those that have chosen to reject Jesus Christ will have their great white throne judgment at a later time. We don't have time to visit on that today, but the Bible says that every knee, whether it's in submission or rebellion, will still bow their knee before the living God.
Just not at the same time.
Just not at the same time.
Okay.
No. Now, there are some teachings that try to put them together, but if you are a student of the Word, you will see that
There is a separation.
Yes, okay. Yes. And then the crowns will show the consequences of sowing and reaping. Those things that we have sown out of the good gold, silver, and precious stones versus the wood, hay, and stubble, the crowns will then give evidence of the principles of sowing and reaping.
Okay. So in talking about the crowns, we have crowns that are actually named in Scripture.
Yes, I do believe the Lord has many more rewards to give his children. There's a lot of lovely merits on running the race so that you can receive the prize.
Okay, so there's more than just crowns to receive at the Bema.
I believe there is. I believe there is. I cannot really detail it out to you, but it is the bringing to close of the church age and everything that the Lord purposed for us in our humanity here on earth. And God will make good on his word that our labor shall never be in vain. Now, Psalm 16:11, rewards in heaven are completion of our earthly story, and those rewards will be eternally satisfying. The church is not dissolved. We go on to a totally new dispensation of service.
Okay, so to sum this up, the judgment seat of Christ, also known as the Bema, is a place where we will stand before the Lord and we will receive our reward based on what we have built on the foundation of Christ, whether that be wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. So there are actually five crowns named in Scripture, and that's the imperishable crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and the crown of life. Now we want to start with the imperishable crown.
Yes.
That's showing that you ran the race, like faithful endurance through the trials.
Yes. And some people, and it's also listed in Scripture as the incorruptible crown, depending on what version of the Scriptures you might be reading. And some people talk about it as the victor's crown, because you are running a race. And you were victorious. Sharon, did you ever do athletics when you were in high school or grade school?
I'm sorry, no. I guess I did. We had track meets. I participated in those when I was young, but it was all during school, those field day kind of things.
Well, but do you not remember that when you got first place, second place, third place, you got a ribbon, whether it was a gold, silver, or
blue, red.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Blue, red, and green, I think.
I was gifted with having long legs and could run, and so I won some state championships. And those ribbons hung on a board for years, gathered dust.
Yeah.
But the pride and of accomplishment.
Right.
And I think that will be part of what the rewards will be so meaningful for us, is that we can look at it and remember that by the grace of God, we did not let selfishness be the final authority, that we desired something that was far better, and we were willing to let the Lord choose how to bring us to that point?
Well, the scripture verse that goes along with the imperishable or incorruptible crown, we will find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. And I just want to read that real quick.
Good.
Know you not that they which run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is patient in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible.
Yes. And you know, in the next couple of verses, there's just a good point to follow through with on that, Sharon, and that is that it has a requirement that we have to discipline our body and bring it into subjection, mm-hmm. because Paul makes it very clear that if I don't, after I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And we need to recognize the importance of the fact that we can be walking with the Lord and ministering to others, and somehow the enemy will creep in, and we can then step aside, fall away from the path that we have been faithfully running and be disqualified. That's why the scriptures do still talk about there being a loss at the Bema.
Okay. Well, that's kind of the wood, hay, and stubble that we've talked about building on the foundation. Is that the loss that we will see?
Yes. Okay. That the fire cannot consume the gold and silver, but it will be a bonfire for any things that we have done in our own strength. And so I think some of the things that we might just mention here briefly are, what once we know that we are justified and that we're going to heaven, we're out of hell, we're into heaven, then how does the Lord want to set us apart and sanctify us, not only to be a witness, a light and salt here, but to fulfill the purpose and the calling that He's had for each of our lives from before the foundation of the world? Sharon, the imperishable crown can be lost if we choose not to discipline the body. Okay, well, that means if we choose to live with earthly values, excess, and that can be anything.
Okay.
And so we just need to keep in mind that even though the purpose of the Bema is not to bring out the lacks, but to bring out your sufficiency and how you ran the race and to be rewarded for that, we always need to bear in mind that we just don't need to assume that we've been doing good deeds and we've got this all chalked up. So many Christians today, with the difficulties of life, want to retire. They know they're heaven bound, and they want to maintain certain comforts in their own physical weakness, their humanity, mm-hmm. and they want to quit the race. They just want to kind of slide on into heaven. And that is not the mind of God.
Well, you know, Jamie, we live in a culture that encourages comforts and shortcuts, retirement and easy roads.
That's right.
So as we apply that mindset to our Christian life, we find little wrong with retirement. But in our Christian walk, that's much like stopping in the middle of a race and sitting on the sidelines just to watch all the other runners go by. But God really does want us to finish the race and finish it well.
Yes, and now I know that you are a college student, and I had the privilege of teaching in a college, and we always set forth the goal of the course that was going to be ran.
Mm-hmm.
And studied. And then we had certain objectives that were really priorities. And then we had a lot of distinctives or prerequisites to finish the course so that you could graduate, so mm-hmm. that you could receive your diploma. And the same thing is true here in the Christian life. We look at the word for the goal of what it is to be saved and sanctified and be heaven bound. And then we have objectives that are really the priorities that we need to renew ourselves in every day, maybe sometimes more than once a day. Mm-hmm. And then we have distinctives that we keep learning on how to reach these objectives and these goals. I find that being in the Word after 70 years, that I'm still finding new to me and, right. and understanding the distinctives of how to effectually let God be all that He is to me because of all that He is in me.
Right.
And I'm sure if I have the privilege of living another 5 or 10 years, I'll have more prerequisites that I'll be able to implement by His grace, so that when I see Him, it's a joyful meeting.
Right. Well, Janie, it does talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Now, we began this program with verse 10. But verse 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made known to God, and I trust also are made known to your conscience."
It is a fearful thing, Sharon, to be given the grace that God has given us with His completed Word. He says He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, and then to ignore what He's given us will definitely cause us to have to look at the loss that can be had at the Bema.
And it seems to have a lot to do with the fact that we don't realize that we are building wood, hay, and stubble on our foundation. And
that's right.
We are not handling the situations and circumstances that we're facing in our nation today with Christ-like character.
Right.
We're just not handling things well.
Sharon, I cannot tell you how many people right now, with the uncertainty and the unknowns, are living with a provoked spirit, and they don't realize what it's costing them.
So what's a provoked spirit look like?
Well, a provoked spirit is given a beautiful example in Psalms 106. It says, the people sinned, and God got angry, but it went ill with Moses, who was to be the leader and the guide of these people. Now, let's just work that out a little bit. The people sinned, and God was angry. That's just a given, isn't it?
Right.
But Moses chose to respond to them with a provoked spirit.
Okay.
In other words, the way that was evidenced is God had always told Moses that you strike the rock once and we will bring forth water. That was a picture of God and His salvation through Jesus Christ. But after that, Moses was supposed to speak to the rock in regarding the discipline and whatever needed to be done. But instead, Moses struck the rock again. So he took his own earthly strength in his humanity and made the decision to respond to the very people that he was to be a light and a witness to. But he then nullified that by doing the what was at one point in time the right thing, strike the rock. But Jesus Christ can only be crucified once. So to take that symbolism mm-hmm. and strike the rock again was not the mind of God nor the way of God to be a witness to these people.
Okay.
So it's the current phrase that we say, and I did it my way.
And so what we're doing is we're being provoked.
That's right.
By the situation and circumstances around us that we are facing and that we're seeing, and we're lashing out in ways that are ungodly.
And so we are not being the light and the salt that we should be. And if you get on social media, you'll see that there are some very conservative people that are not responding in a godly way, even though they may be wanting a godly outcome.
Right.
And the Lord can't use that.
Okay.
And so therefore, we need to have a true repentance at some point in time when we examine our heart. We have to let the Lord show us our hearts to know if we really do love Him with His love, with the agapeo love, the mm-hmm. everlasting love. And if we ask for that, Sharon, do you not think that he will be faithful to take us through the waters that we need to go through so that our hearts are in tune with loving him with agape love?
Yes, I think that, you know, the Lord is so good and he's so gracious and, you know, he's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness in the scriptures. And so as we look at what he has provided for us and what he has promised us, the crowns and the rewards and the instructions and the ways that we might lose those crowns or rewards, it's all right here. It's a matter of getting that into our heart. So
being a student of the word and just not a hearer of the word. And on this particular aspect, Sharon, when you are in love with him, you can be so filled with the love of Christ that you hardly know what to do. You're just rejoicing and rejoicing because you are in touch with what true love really looks, feels, sounds like, and is.
Amen, Janie. That is so true, that God just brings such a joy when we understand what true love really is. And those crowns that we will receive when we see him face to face, you know, we're not even really thinking about those things. We're just being faithful to run the race that the Lord has set before us, as if we are going to obtain a prize at the end, that we want to bring honor and glory to God.
And Sharon, our works will merit favor for the crown because in receiving the crown, we will show the world, we will show all of the body of Christ the reality of God's sonship. Galatians 4:7, for showing the reality of our sonship, of being co-heirs with Jesus Christ and his sonship, of having everything under control. Romans 11:36, everything is by, to, and for him. Father God has given that to Jesus Christ.
Well, Janie, let me just read those real quick. I think we have time for that. So,
all right.
Galatians 4:7 says, wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And then Romans 11:36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Yes, so that will be made known at the Bema. We will also reveal the justice of God.
And we find that promise in Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister.
Yes, yes. And there won't be anybody in hell because Jesus Christ or God sent them to hell. They chose that they wanted separation from God and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And there's no other place for them to abide eternally. Because everybody will live someplace.
That's right, Janie. And there's beautiful words from the Lord in Deuteronomy 30:15 says, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. That's a promise he gave the children of Israel, and he's promised to give us an incorruptible crown, rewards, and eternal life. I want to encourage you to choose life. But that's all the time we have for today. We'll talk about the rest of the crowns and rewards next week. Until then, this is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHearts.org. That's SharonHearts.org.